morning. John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network. Trans fats first came into favor in the 1950s as a response to the perceived negative health issues linked to the use of saturated fats, which come from animal products, things like butter and lard. These trans fats, however, have fallen out of favor and aren't used anywhere near as much as they once were. Now the Food and Drug Administration is set to issue an outright ban. We're going to talk about the proposed ban on trans fats from a couple of different perspectives this morning. And we'll start with Michael Jacobson, co-founder and executive director of the Center for Science and the Public Interest, a nonprofit health advocacy organization. They've been advocating to reduce the use of trans fats since 1993. Michael Jacobson, welcome to the Joy Cardine program. Michael Jacobson, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Good.
I didn't hear.
Good morning.
I'm glad you're able to join us this morning. So let's start out with some of the science here. What is a trans fat exactly?
Well, it's there's liquid vegetable oil that everybody's familiar with. Over 100 years ago, scientists figured out that if they react that liquid vegetable oil with hydrogen, it can be turned into a solid fat, you know, like butter, or even harder than butter. And so that was turned into a great cheap source of non-animal fat. And its use gradually increased. And the thing about it is that it's called trans because of the way the molecule is shaped. It's different from the normal molecule, which is called cis, where there's a bend in the fatty acid molecule. And that difference in shape gives it unusual properties. It acts more like a saturated fat in terms of promoting heart disease. And it turned out that it's even more effective in promoting heart disease than a saturated fat.
But at the time when these things were introduced, the idea was that saturated fats were really bad for us, and so this was considered the healthy alternative. When did we start to learn that the opposite was true?
Well, this was introduced 100 years ago, and nobody had the foggiest idea that saturated fat, maybe even that food, could promote heart disease. And so it was long thought to be innocent. There was some scattered research in the 1970s, 1980s in animals, but it was never confirmed in animals. And so it was long thought to be safe. And then in 1990, some Dutch researchers did a key study in humans that found that trans fat increases the bad cholesterol and might even decrease the good cholesterol. And over the next few years, that was confirmed in other clinical studies, including a key one done at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And then epidemiologists got into the fray and discovered that the clinical studies found changes in cholesterol, but they couldn't detect changes in heart disease. They weren't designed for that. So epidemiologists, studying tens of thousands of people, discovered that people who consumed more trans fat had significantly higher rates of heart disease. And that combination of clinical research and epidemiology laid the foundation for first getting trans fat listed on labels, and then hopefully today, the FDA will announce a ban.
The trans fats were once considered generally safe, which meant that they weren't really regulated by the FDA. Now they're on labels. Labeling reduced the use of trans fats by quite a bit, didn't it?
It did. You know, over the last 15 years or so, since 1999, when the FDA proposed labeling of trans fat, that was a clear signal to the food industry and the public that trans fat was bad. The FDA estimated that trans fat was causing 20,000 to 30,000 deaths per year. And so following that, there were a lot of bad publicity about trans fat, which caused some food companies to take notice. There were lawsuits by a California lawyer against Kraft for not disclosing the presence of trans fat in Oreo cookies, and against McDonald's for saying it was going to get rid of trans fat but not doing so. Then we sued KFC and Burger King for not disclosing trans fat. New York City banned trans fat in restaurants and bakeries. And that was key because it set an example for Philadelphia, Seattle, California, and others to ban trans fat from bakeries and restaurants. But those changes at the local level proved that you can get rid of trans fat for everything, because bakeries in particular use partially hydrogenated oil. Remember, the source of artificial trans fat. They use it for pastries like croissants, pie crusts, frostings, icings that need a hard fat. And if all of those bakeries and restaurants could get rid of it, that was a clear demonstration that it wasn't needed anywhere. And then around that time, 2003, Denmark banned partially hydrogenated oil or trans fat. And then the next year, we called on the FDA to ban partially hydrogenated oil because of all this evidence. It was feasible to get rid of it, and no matter what they switched to, it would be an improvement for the public's health.
If trans fats appear on the label, and it sounds like people are much more aware of labeling and the contents of their food, why is it necessary to ban them entirely?
Well, we've had labeling since 2006, and so that's 9 years, and companies are still using 1 to 2 billion pounds of partially hydrogenated oil every year, a huge amount. Some companies are lazy about getting rid of it. Some say they're having a hard time and they don't want to replace it with a healthier oil. So that's why we need the government to step in and say, get rid of it once and for all. This is causing heart disease. It's unnecessary. So replace partially hydrogenated oil with something else.
Has the industry come up with alternatives to trans fats?
There are many alternatives now. Back 10 or 15 years ago, think of two kinds of uses. One was frying oils, and there it's easy to get rid of partially hydrogenated oil. McDonald's switched when 2004, maybe, something like that, and they said not a single customer complained. They couldn't detect the difference in taste. So frying oils are easy. What's harder are where you need a solid fat. That's where you can't have a pie crust made with vegetable oil, or it'll be just greasy, not flaky. So that's where the challenge has been. And there are different alternatives. Some companies switch to butter, which is certainly more expensive. Some switch to palm oil, which is cheap, but it's imported, and much of it has come from Malaysia and Indonesia, where palm oil plantations have replaced rainforest. And that's terrible, and that has to be dealt with, either by not using palm oil or by making sure that the oil is harvested from plantations that don't replace rainforest. And then there's an interesting substance called interesterified oil that's made by some of the big oil processors. That's probably the healthiest of the solid fats, where it's basically soybean oil that is modified to so you can get any degree of thickness, of hardness. And it appears to be safe. And some companies are using that. And then combinations of all that stuff, cottonseed oil and butter, or high oleic canola oil. They're different ones. And you have to look at different products and see what works, because every product is different. Okay. But, you know, kind of the bottom line, John, is when you look at different food categories, like microwave popcorn, some brands have huge amounts of trans fat. Others have zero.
Okay. And so we have to check our labels. We'll come back to that in just a moment. First, we're going to take a quick break for the news. Wondering what you think about all this. Do you check labels for trans fats? Does it influence your buying decisions? Let us know. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Look for the Joy Cardin Show on Facebook and Twitter, or write us an email. The address is talk@WPR.org. We're talking about the proposed FDA ban on trans fats and wondering what you think. My guest, Michael Jacobson with the CSPI. I'll be back with him and with you in just a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Trans fats, once thought to be a healthy alternative to saturated fats, we've since learned otherwise, and now the Food and Drug Administration is set to declare an outright ban on trans fats. We're getting a couple of different perspectives on that this hour. Michael Jacobson, co-founder and executive director of the Center for Science and the Public Interest, a nonprofit health advocacy organization, is my guest in this half of the program. This CSPI has been advocating to reduce the use of trans fats since the early 90s. Michael Jacobson, what will this FDA ban on trans fats eliminate, and would there be any loopholes in it? I mean, are we talking about trans fats are just expunged from the list of things that can be contained in what we eat, or are there going to be some exceptions?
It's just a teeny bit complicated. The FDA will effectively ban all uses of partially hydrogenated oil, and it will give the food industry probably 3 years to make that transition. Companies clearly can't do this overnight. So there'll be a long phase-out period during which time people will continue to have to read labels if they want to avoid trans fat. Second aspect of it is that the food industry has is allowed to file a food additive petition asking for permission to use partially hydrogenated oil at certain levels in certain foods. And it has filed that petition already. It's going to take the FDA months, or who knows how long, a year or two to act. Excuse me. Some minor uses would not be a problem. For instance, sprinkles on cupcakes would not be a problem. But if they want to use current levels in microwave popcorn, that would be a major problem. So the FDA would have to march through and look at what the food industry is contending. I fear that the food industry is going to say that something like 80% of trans fat has been eliminated, so it really isn't a public health problem now. And so the FDA should permit all the uses that are currently being used, microwave popcorn, sprinkles, and so on, setting limits for each use. But the limits could be based at the current levels of maximum usage. So we're going to see a little dance going on. But trans fat has proven to be so harmful, and it has such a rotten image that nobody wants to eat it, that I think there will be, even if FDA says, okay, you can use certain uses, I think it will be largely eliminated. People will look for trans fat on the nutrition label or look for partially hydrogenated oil, which is really the key thing, in the ingredient list, and avoid it.
Well, here's a comment from Pat on Facebook who writes, I'm a liberal, but banning this kind of food or mandating the size of soft drinks is ridiculous. If people choose to be obese or have rotten teeth, so be it. It's their body. There are a whole lot more important things to worry about in this country. Why is this such a big deal?
Well, remember, trans fat was causing tens of thousands of deaths. People didn't know they were eating it. They had no idea how harmful it was. So it really wasn't a well-informed decision that people could make. And if you can get rid of something, so now it's only causing maybe 5,000 deaths a year on that order. 5,000 deaths is a lot of unnecessary deaths because it can be replaced with healthier oils, and the caller, the listener, wouldn't have any idea that it's been removed. Her foods will taste exactly the same as they did before.
Salta on Facebook says, make healthy food affordable. That would solve this and a million other problems. Is that an issue here, that a lot of us have trouble affording the kind of healthy food that we probably should be eating?
Yeah, it's a totally different problem. You know, clearly if people, especially low-income people, if they had more money, they could buy more healthful foods. For the general population, but that has nothing to do with partially hydrogenated oil. People will still be eating pastries and microwave popcorn. But it's not, more money isn't the answer, because middle class and upper class people, they have lousy diets also. They have enough money to buy healthy foods, real food, but we choose not to do it. We're tempted by all the crap in restaurants, vending machines, supermarkets, the stuff that's advertised on television. I think we need. First, get rid of some of the bad stuff like trans fat, but also have major campaigns to make it easier, to encourage people to buy more foods, more fruits and vegetables, more whole grains, stuff like that. And I think one key thing has been getting healthier foods in schools, particularly fruits and vegetables and whole grains, so kids grow up accustomed to eating these healthier foods.
We're going to be hearing from an opponent of the ban in just a few minutes, who says that the trans fat ban will lead to more food waste and to higher food prices. How do you respond to that?
It's ridiculous. There's no basis for it. Do you think people are not eating their French fries at McDonald's because they switched to partially hydrogenated oil halfway through the package? People think, this doesn't taste good. It doesn't have trans fat in it. That's a silly argument. And, you know, nobody in the food industry even believes that, has used that argument. You know, it smacks of somebody whose organization gets a little too much corporate funding or is trying to get it.
If trans fats are banned, though, I mean, will some foods have to be discarded immediately, or is this going to be a gradual changeover?
No, it'll be a gradual changeover. The food industry is going to continue to sell it. And there's been this gradual switch in the last 15 years where people ate what was in their cupboards, supermarkets sold what was in the pipeline, and companies just began producing healthier foods. And nobody really noticed the change, except that everybody has seen the no trans fat labels on foods, because that attracts people to the foods.
So, I mean, we have labels on foods, and people are still choosing to consume foods that have these harmful things in them. What about just maybe trying to do a better job of educating people that, read the label on foods, know what you're putting into your body, and make better choices? But why isn't the ultimate choice being left up to the individual?
Well, if people had a high priority for health and reading ingredient statements, that would work. But, you know, disappointingly, not everybody is as interested in nutrition and health as most of your listeners are. And the government, I believe, has a responsibility to step in and promote the public's health in a way that isn't disruptive of the marketplace or of people's lives. You know, if the only replacements were more harmful than trans fat and tasted lousy, I don't think there would be a ban. But if the change could be made invisibly and people are healthier, why not?
What do you project will be the ultimate result of an FDA ban on trans fats?
Several thousand lives a year will be saved. That's really the bottom line. And then people can worry about other things in their lives, foods, air pollution, whatever.
Well, I mean, yeah, you hit on a lot of things that that affect our health. This is certainly one of them. We'll, of course, be watching this process closely, maybe revisiting it. It's an interesting discussion. We'll get the other side of it in just a moment. But Michael Jacobson, thanks for spending this half of the program with us. I really appreciate your time this morning.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much, John, for having me.
Michael Jacobson is co-founder and executive director of the Center for Science in the Public Interest, a nonprofit health advocacy organization. They have been advocating to reduce the use of trans fats since 1993. We're going to change up our guests here in just a moment. We'll get someone who has a different viewpoint on trans fats. Still welcoming your questions and comments at 800-642-1234, talk at WPR.org, or on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.